From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the prophecies of Father Andrew Wingate. But first in London, a horror movie fanatic who repeatedly slashed his terrified friend with a homemade Freddy Krueger glove. Life in prison for him. Jason Moore was obsessed with a Nightmare on Elm Street killer, and he spent hours crafting various recreations of this horrific weapon. His final model featured four curved steel blades, each as sharp as a cutthroat razor, that was attached to the welded brass amulet. He's 37 years old. He used the glove to attack his friend as he slept, causing slash wounds to his face, neck, and hands. Miraculously, the friend is okay, but they say traumatized for life. 15 Royal Navy sailors and Marines held captive by Iran returned home Thursday to a nation relieved at their freedom, but an outraged one as well that they were used for propaganda by Iran. Prime Minister Tony Blair called for continued international pressure on Iran, blaming elements of the Iranian government for backing militants in Iraq, where four British soldiers and a translator were slain in an ambush hours before the freed crew touched down. A draft report expected to be released on Friday by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a UN network of 2,000 scientists, warns that global warming could threaten the lives of hundreds of millions of people in the decades to come. In the absence of action to curb emissions of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases, they say, the future looks bleak, according to the draft report. The report will be the second of a four-volume authoritative assessment of Earth's climate released this year. Around 1,600 passengers and a crew were evacuated from a cruise ship after it struck rocks and began listing heavily off the coast of a Greek island. The Greek-flagged Sea Diamond, carrying 1,200 passengers and 400 crew, was abandoned after running aground as it approached the main harbor of the Santorini island in the Aegean Sea. Shades of Titanic. Kirk Kerkorian, the 89-year-old billionaire who was once Chrysler Corporation's largest single shareholder, has offered to pay $4.5 billion to buy the struggling automaker from Daimler Chrysler. They paid $40 billion for it less than a decade ago. He said he's willing to put down a $100 million deposit as a sign of good faith. A Chinese company accused of selling chemically contaminated wheat gluten linked to the pet food deaths of cats and dogs here in the United States says it sells most of its wheat gluten within China, now raising health concerns over people and animals in China. That fear that the people or animals in China may have been exposed to tainted wheat gluten, which is a protein source used as an ingredient in pet food. And also the Food and Drug Administration here has announced that it has identified another contaminated pet food product, dog biscuits, made by Sunshine Mills of Red Bay, Alabama. The dog biscuits are contaminated with potentially toxic wheat gluten as well, according to the FDA. You know, we've been following this incredible story of the 27-year-old tuberculosis patient who sits in a jail cell in Phoenix, equipped with a ventilation system that keeps germs from escaping. He could be locked up indefinitely because he has been considered a public danger. In a moment, Len Horowitz reacts to this story. We'll also talk with Dr. Len about the possibility of being forced to take vaccines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Len Horowitz, he's an internationally known authority on public health education and health practice management. He received his doctorate from Tufts University, was awarded a fellowship to the behavioral research at the University of Rochester. He has been on this program numerous times. His website is drlenhorowitz.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's with us this hour on Coast to Coast. Hey, Dr. Len, how are you?
Great, George. Great to join you again.
Thanks so much to talk with you about this story in Phoenix. Is just, for me, one of the most fascinating ones I've seen in a long time. It's a catch-22. I'll explain that to you in a moment, Dr. Glenn. But give me, Len, your perception of this 27-year-old who has this form of tuberculosis. He's sitting in jail because he refused to put a mask over his face.
Yeah, they jailed him for his alleged negligence in protecting the public's health. But in fact, they should jail the doctors for the negligence of not informing this individual appropriately, and as also suppressing the natural cures that exist for tuberculosis. This is a royal scam, George, and what this is about is a propaganda ploy to get everybody into the mindset that they've got to get their TB skin test, they got to get their line up for vaccinations, and they are literally going to now continue this bioterrorist agenda, ultimately incarcerating, quarantining many, many, many people in urban areas as they bring these frights forward.
Len, here's the catch-22. On one hand, boy, there is no doubt. I do not want government to have to quarantine us. I don't want government to force us to take vaccines when we don't want. We'll talk about that in a second. On the other hand, if an individual, maybe not him, but if an individual is walking around with a contagious disease, refuses to do anything about it, what do we do as a society?
Well, I think it's appropriate, number one, to have physicians who practice good health education because, again, part of health education is prevention. The fact that this individual, he was from Russia, he was very ignorant. He had no knowledge about what his own personal risks are. They let him out without impressing upon him the need to wear his mask in public, apparently, even though they might have told him, you know how much time doctors give you, especially a person from a low socioeconomic status like this individual. They probably didn't give him any time. They sent him out in the street. Who's negligent here? Equal negligence, I feel, falls on these healthcare professionals and worse on these public officials who are legislating this type of initiative, advancing this whole concept of quarantining people against their will, against their civil rights, freedoms, including religious freedoms. And, you know, this is going to get worse. And I think what we need to do is really take a good look at the medical system. What is it doing? What is it suppressing? Including not only civil rights, but also standard, basic, common sense approaches to dealing with infectious diseases.
What do we do, Len? What do we do with this individual? He could stay in there, they say, for the rest of his life if he keeps this disease.
George, we can handle. You know, when we're dealing with this issue in Hawaii. Again, this whole thing is a scam. I guarantee you three or four of my colleagues could treat this fellow very effectively. He wouldn't have this TB for long. If we simply did the five basic natural steps that every good naturopathic physician employs. Number one, detoxification. The guy is intoxicated heavily. Number two, he's acidified. They're giving him poisons. It's poisoning his system. We've got to de-alkalinize him. Number three, boost and normalize his natural immunity. He's heavily suppressed. Did you know, for example, that vitamin D alone comes from sunshine? That cures TB. The science is very solid in that. He's in a closed wall. He's got four walls, concrete walls, no windows. That is absolutely negligence beyond belief. This is medical science that's being neglected by these doctors and these officials. Why? To simply make this guy a wag the media type of campaign to get the public's mind into thinking that they got a tuberculosis skin test and vaccinated at every will or whim of any public health officials who declares an emergency. Step four and five, oxygenation, bioenergetics. You want to wipe out this bacteria and virtually all the viral and infectious diseases that are plaguing humanity? Oxygenation. And then bioenergetics, bioelectronics. Everything from color, light, sound therapy. Think about it, George. We treat water for purification with ultraviolet light. It's the most effective, and in fact, today it's still the most costly method of getting rid of viruses and bacteria in the water. Our bodies are made of water, mostly water, and all we would need to do is irradiate our blood, irradiate our bodies with light, such as the full spectrum light from the sun, all sorts of technologies have been suppressed. It could be advanced to take advantage of bioenergetics. This is a crime. It's a crime against humanity. The pharmaceutical industrialists and the medical maniacs are out of control.
Len, yesterday an expert in anthrax says that it looks like the government can force us or will force us to take anthrax vaccines if necessary. That's scary stuff, Dr. Len. Is this true?
It's hideous. It's a real hideous reality. We are being run. And in fact, the Associated Press, who came out with this article, is a virtual mouthpiece by the Central Intelligence Agency. The global industrialists, I like to call them the military medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel, run by the Anglo-American industrialists and the international banksters, for lack of a better term, they are engaged in enslaving, intoxicating, and decimating humanity. Two-thirds of the world's population are currently targeted for elimination. That means every one out of every two of you folks listening should no longer be here, according to these globalists and decision makers. Now, how are they going to do that? It's not simply about money anymore. They want to get rid of half to two-thirds of us. How are they going to do that, obviously, is the most profitable way, the most covert way. You know, it brings to mind what Hitler said. You tell a lie long enough, eventually we believe this truth. And the greater the lie, the more people will believe it. The concept that they're doing this for the public's good, the concept that vaccines are safe and effective, all of these are gross deceptions, fully intended to simply pull the wool over everyone's eyes and lead people into these loony public policies where there's no definitive, I'm telling you, with the TB skin testing, with the whole concept of vaccination, there's no definitive science that supports this medical mania.
Wasn't your daughter tossed out of high school because she didn't get a TB skin test?
Yes, and we're still dealing with that situation now. We have two lawsuits currently pending in the state of Hawaii against the Department of Education and the Department of Health. And there's so much merit to our case that the circuit court judge has asked us to bring this case on with additional plaintiffs that will not have the technical challenges that I face as somebody who's been dealing with this beast for a long time.
So what happened? Did she come home one day and say, hey, Dad, tomorrow we're going to have to get this TB skin test, and you protested? How did that work?
Actually, no. I got a phone call to come down. By the time I came down, they had already put her in the nurse's station. They had pulled her out of class. And here was a freshman in high school, straight-A student. She had been running cross-country. She was top seventh in the school as a cross-country runner, as a freshman, made varsity. Now, you don't run up to 8 miles a day in training with TB, even any form of TB. This is a highly, sports-savvy individual who is very healthy. And the fact of the matter is that the concept of the TB skin test I'm so familiar with, and we'll have to get into this, that there's such a royal scam that it's obvious and it's insane that people think that they should get TB skin tested as a preventative against tuberculosis. But to make a long story short, we ended up suing the high school, suing the Department of Education, and suing the Department of Health for what is an obvious fraud and a malfeasance against the public. And we're still the only organization right now. We've got a couple ministries that are supporting this. We're funding this solo, and we're going to win this. I really sincerely believe it may go to as high as the highest state court, the Supreme Court of the state, but ultimately there's such great merits. They're violating five state statutes and two constitutional freedoms. They're violating all of the statutes that deal with the religious freedom, which is what our situation is about. We are Christian Jews, and we know what the Bible says. We know what the laws say. The laws in every state virtually state that you have a religious exemption available for not only vaccinations, but for tuberculosis skin tests. And they can't legislate it otherwise, because it's in the United States Constitution. It can't stand. And so they're violating all of these state statutes and constitutional freedoms, and even the judges are shaking their head going, man, this is a tremendously high meritorious case. Bring it on.
Len, in your opinion, are there any practitioners out there, medical practitioners, who think that testing is the proper way to do it, and they're doing it based on their own good medical conscience?
No, they're doing it on their own medical ignorance. First of all, you have to understand, and again, as a behavioral scientist and an expert with trained in Harvard in School of Public Health in behavioral science, I can tell you, in medical schools and dental schools and these professional training organizations, institutions, it is a hazing process. It is trauma-based education at its worst. These interns are kept up for three nights in a row. What can you do under that highly stressful situation? What you can do is make a lot of mistakes and be susceptible to mind control, virtual hypnosis. You graduate with no education in nutrition virtually. You graduate with no knowledge whatsoever of holistics and natural healing. You are ultimately a mind control manipulated slave of the pharmaceutical industry. And that in that position then, all you can do is simply spout out the mainstream concept that healing is the process of medicine or healing involves chemical manipulation and intoxication. And then there's no room whatsoever for the mind-body-spirit concept. There's no room whatsoever for the health educational, behavior change, lifestyle modification, risk reduction concepts. You now are leave medical practice. You leave medical training, you engage in medical practice, you've got about $250,000 to $500,000 in bills and loans hanging over your head. You've got no time for people. All you've got is a prescription pad and an education that's based on this whole manipulation, that's how you then treat people. And the litmus test is, folks listening, you and I have lost family members and friends to these lunatics, and it's time we stop. It's got to stop, George, and it's going to stop in Hawaii. It's going to stop right here on coast to coast. We're done being manipulated, coerced, enslaved, and killed at the will and whim of these medical maniacs. It's time to take responsibility for our own health, well-being, and welfare, and not lay our lives on the hands in medical deities.
Now, you also believe that those people who work in the public, food handlers should not be tested. Tell me why.
Well, first of all, TB, what's the testing scam in the food handlers situation? Obviously, even the Centers for Disease Control tells you, how is TB spread? Coughing and sneezing, airborne. It's not in the foods. If these people, even if they had TB, active cases of TB, if they sneezed on your pizza pie, guess what? It's goes into your stomach, the acid totally eliminates it. That's not the route of transmission of tuberculosis. You got to breathe it in. So the concept that all of these people, children included, must get TB skin tested is simply a royal profiteering off of humanity's suffering and ignorance. The greatest lesson that's out there right now is the movie The Constant Gardener. It's all about this TB testing scam. They show it in Africa, we've experienced it, and we're now fighting it in Hawaii. It's nationwide. The issue is, and what they're doing, and the film depicts it beautifully, they are testing all of these low-risk populations. Food handlers are low-risk. The general population are low-risk. The AIDS community is high-risk. The children in public schools and private schools are low-risk, if not no-risk. And that ultimately 30 to 50% of the people that get tested with this scam, 100-year-old test, George, what is 100 years old in medicine that's still any good?
Nothing, I guess, nothing.
60 years ago, physicians were recommending that people smoke for their health. So the concept now that we're still dealing with a 100-year-old antiquated, barbaric test that has 30 to 50% admittedly false positives, and then here's the kicker. Here's where you begin to realize it's a completely devastating scam, is that they put the children on 9 months of toxic chemotherapy with rifampicin and isoniazid. These are toxic, so toxic that scientific studies available through a Google search on the internet with from real peer-reviewed science shows that 25% of healthy adults after 2 months develop severe liver damage, severe blood problems like hemophiliac type tendencies included, and severe neurological impairments, nerve damage. And we're giving this under the guise of public health for our children's well-being and our public health. Again, never a greater lie has been told. Tell it long enough, and fools unfortunately believe it.
Stick around for phone calls next. We'll open the lines, your questions, with Dr. Len Horowitz. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to be right back. We'll take your phone calls now with our guest this hour, Dr. Len Horowitz, as we talk about vaccines. You've heard what he has to say. Now it's your turn. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Len Horowitz. We're going to take your phone calls now. Len, it is interesting that we're talking about the individual who's in jail. Aren't the outbreaks of tuberculosis very high in jail?
Yes. And, you know, here's the issue also that we really should really realize. Every public health professional knows this. I was trained, again, I learned it a long time ago. Physicians learn it in medical school. I don't understand why they've forgotten it. Almost everyone is exposed to tuberculosis. We all carry it currently. All the healthy people carry it. It's in our lungs. It gets walled off in these things called tubercle bacilli. Basically, the tubercle bacilli get walled off by connective tissue. That's what's called tubercle or tuberculosis. Meanwhile, so long as your immune system remains solid, you never cough it out. It's only when you get immune compromised do these connective tissue sheaths or envelopes around these bacteria break down, and then you cough it out or spit it out. So this is the issue. We're not doing anything by instituting this draconian measure of tuberculosis skin testing massive populations. It is a natural, normal thing almost throughout the United States to be exposed to TB. And so what are we doing? We're promoting a concept of TB skin testing where all of these children and all these health professionals and all of these food workers are being given this test. 30 to 50% get false positives. And ultimately then, because of the other illnesses that they develop, they are then put on other meds, which have toxic side effects. So there's a snowballing effect. One disease leads to another disease in this medical care system.
All right, to the phones we go. First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Deborah. I'm from Austin, Texas.
Sure, Deborah. Go ahead, please.
And I'm just wondering, he indicated that people that handle food don't cough or sneeze into the food that they're preparing, which is the main way that tuberculosis is transmitted.
It's spread through the air, not on the food. You don't eat it, and you don't get TB from eating a tuberculosis bacillus.
Okay. But I'm just not sure I'm getting what you're saying. I mean, it's if it's transmitted into that, how is it not? I mean, it's transmitted by the aerosolized germ, is
yeah,
it not?
So, in other words, somebody who's got active TB, first of all, if they're coughing and sneezing, they shouldn't be operating in a place where there's people that are walking around. This is the issue with children in schools. Obviously, if a child is coughing or sneezing, teachers typically send those children to the nurse's station where they do a medical examination. If the nurse suspects something, she's going to bring in a doctor. Those doctors have the capacity very easily to diagnose active TB. They then can take a chest x-ray. They can take a sputum test. They have their various ways of determining whether this person is an infectious risk. They don't need the TB skin test. It is a scam. Furthermore, what absolutely slam dunks the concept that this is a fraud is the fact that there's no risk to benefit ratio that would support the policy of mass TB skin testing. What do I mean by that? I mean that in order to know that a vaccination or a TB skin test or any medical procedure is beneficial versus detrimental, you've got to have solid science. You've got to know that you're not killing and maiming more people than you're helping and saving. And that
requires
research.
What you're really talking about here is one gentleman who has a non-treatable form of tuberculosis who's actively spreading it.
That's what they say. I'm saying that's a fraud. I guarantee you that colleagues of mine and I could get together in probably a week and a half, just like I said to the people in Hawaii. I told the press in Hawaii, You bring me all of your active TB cases. Bring them to our health retreat in Pahoa, Hawaii. We will treat them for free, and we'll show you how to deal with this situation.
You would bring this man into your house? You would bring this man into your house?
Yes, I would. You know, if Mother Teresa can do it, we can do it.
Okay. Well, I wonder if they'd at least let you visit him, Len.
I'll tell you what. George, if you set it up, I'll go. I've got to be in Santa Fe at the Science and Consciousness meeting in about 2 weeks, coming back from Toronto, where I'm speaking next week. I will show up with a half a dozen naturopaths, and we will treat this person effectively, sanely, reasonably, not make him a criminal.
All right, we will. You know what? We'll take the challenge. I don't know if they'll let us do it, but we'll go for it, and we'll see what happens, Len. I'd love to see the results. Wild card line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. I was recently getting ready to go back to school for a human services project or program, and they one of the criteria is they make you take a TB skin test, and I came up with a positive, and so now I'm involved with the health department, and actually in the morning I got to go in, and I think they're going to want me to start taking one of these drugs. How do you know if it was a false positive or not? And apparently it's a latent case, or I was just exposed to it at some time.
Yeah, that's you're one of the victims of the scam. That's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, they said that they found approximately this year, came out in the AP article, something like 37,000 cases such as yourself, or actually with latent TB that they suspect there's active cases. They said that they diagnosed 37,000 active cases, but they treat all of you. You're being treated now as though you're an active case, even though you're not.
Right.
Okay? So this is the scam. And what we showed you in the statistics on Hawaii, we have it on the website, www.drlenhorowitz, that's drlenhorowitz.com. You can link to it through the Coast to Coast website tonight.
Okay.
And if you go into the TB skin testing file therein, you'll find a whole plethora of articles that is associated with this whole issue, trying to expose it all. And here's the analysis that we did in Hawaii. They diagnosed last year, just like you diagnosed, as having a potentially active case. They diagnosed 6 active cases in the state of Hawaii last year. And in order to do that, they had to test approximately 50,000 children. Now, get this. If 30% conservatively, and we even took less numbers than that, we said 15% of 50,000 have been now diagnosed and must take for 9 months toxic chemotherapies, isoniazid, rifampicin. Guess what? What those numbers show, if 25% of healthy adults succumb to liver damage, severe, long-term chronic ailments, what's happening with these poor children? You got to take now simply conservatively 10% of 50,000. You're looking at 5,000 children. For what?
So
for
what is
6 cases where if they were hacking and coughing in school, a nurse would have found them and a doctor could have diagnosed it and saved everybody, including the whole public health, this menace?
What's this poor guy going to do tomorrow, Glenn?
Well, what he's going to do is what I would highly recommend you to do. Say to these people, no, I am not interested in taking these drugs. Have you read the side effects of these drugs? Have them read. And then here's if they give you a problem, have them sign a liability that they will be held responsible for.
I bet
any
they
damage.
Won't sign it. I bet they won't
they
sign it.
They will not sign it, just like they won't sign it for any of the vaccines. So that if you make yourself a nuisance, they'll want to get rid of you fast.
All right, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Is that me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, I caught the show after you had just mentioned Hawaii, and I live in Hawaii, so I'm curious what the subject is in terms of, I've heard a little bit while I've been waiting about the inoculation test, but is there something going on in Hawaii that...
No, not necessarily. Well, that's not
in the news, as far as I know.
Yeah, no, it's actually going on all across the United States. I just happen to be living in Hawaii. I just happen to have a daughter who was thrown out of school and became the legal case that's setting a national precedent. And by the way, here's the issue. There's two issues. Number one, as I said earlier, to make it really clear, there's no definitive science. In fact, all of these people who are injured don't get reported. All the people who get injured from taking these toxic drugs or the vaccines don't get reported as victims of this medical ruse. So the data is not full and complete in order to be able to establish that this is safe and effective treatment. So in other words, there's no science basis for this public health, alleged public health policy of mass TB skin testing, mass vaccination. And so that's number one. It's not science. It's a political and a financial agenda. And then the issue in Hawaii, we are simply drawing a line. They are coming for your blood. There's no question that they basically want your DNA. They want it for the medical biochips. They want it for the identification cards, for the health plans. That's where they're going with this. And they're going to tell you over the next year or two, here's my prophecy. Based on what I just told you a couple minutes ago, that this is a ridiculously antiquated test over 100 years old, they have three or four other very effective tests that deal with having to take your blood, and that they're less risky, they're less costly, they're a little bit more costly at this point, but the prices are going to come down, and they're going to substitute for this TB skin testing other forms of tests that require the blood. When they get your blood, they're going to want to also at the same time get your DNA. When they got your DNA, virtually your human freedom and your civil rights may as well be flushed down the toilet. And that's ultimately what we are now in Hawaii. We're saying no. In terms of religious freedom and in terms of civil rights, your body sovereign, your Holy Spirit-filled temple needs to remain that way. You don't have to get injected, infected, intoxicated at the will or whim of a public health professional. They call themselves professionals. I shudder to think that these are my colleagues. They're just completely ignorant and totally berserk in this way. The bottom line is that we need to take a stand. And we're taking a stand in Hawaii. We need your support. We need your help. If you go online, there's an opportunity for you to contribute something that's meaningful. Whatever's on your heart, we need your support. We're paying for attorneys to be able to take this forward. We're taking a stand for religious freedom and human rights with regard to your body being a sovereign temple, not something to be manipulated by allegedly public health professionals.
You see where the state of Wisconsin has passed a law, no forced microchipping of people.
That's what I pray for. That's awesome. Congratulations, folks, up there, because we need to follow suit. We need to do this all over. We, the people, need to say no. Enough is enough. Enough of our family, our loved ones, and our friends have died from this madness. Please let us stop it.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with Dr. Len Horowitz. Hi there. Hello.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
George. Yeah, this is Matt from Newburgh, Indiana.
Okay,
hi, how are
Matt.
You doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm actually a doctor of pharmacy, and I actually agree with a lot of things your guest has said about using non-pharmacological treatment in treating diseases. I think that's a great thing. He was talking about the TB skin test not being any good because it's old, over 100 years old. I just wanted to put my two cents in and say one of the oldest drugs, digoxin, it's a derivative of the foxglove plant. It's also a little over 200 years old, and it's been shown to decrease risk of hospitalizations in people with congestive heart failure. What does he think? Does he have any opinions about that?
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, that's a good point of clarification. The reality, though, for the TB skin test, it was abysmal when they began. It was never sensitive enough. And so I think with the fact that we have alternative testing methods available, again, the only shocker for me is that we're giving these people our blood and our children's blood. That leaves medical and bioethical issues, mm-hmm. as well as religious issues that really need to be looked at. I think people should be simply given the freedom of choice. And most importantly, to make an informed choice, they need to be well educated. So whatever methods, I mean, we all have a lot of issues. We need to look and select the treatment of choice. What's your treatment of choice? It may not be mine. You have the right to choose yours. I should have the right to choose mine.
Can you imagine, Len, almost like there's a bank of fingerprints already out there if you've applied for a gun permit or something like that. But not everybody's been fingerprinted. But in this particular case, what a way to get copies of everybody's everything. So they would have a bank, a DNA bank, of every individual in this country, wouldn't they?
That's what they're going for. I see it as clear as day. It's the writing on the wall. I've been right about many of these things. You know that. The issue about DNA, why it's so important that we protect our DNA, is when I wrote the book DNA, Pirates of the Sacred Spiral, and I exposed those industrialists with the anthrax, the people that mailed the anthrax, we really nailed. And they were heavily engaged with the anthrax vaccine, and the whole reality of what these people are about is ultimately engaging the Human Genome Project, which is that big DNA and that analytical process that was so heralded, widely heralded worldwide. It was run by the London Trust, which is, again, the royalty of Europe, and the United States Navy and the Department of Energy. Why energy? Because the DNA is a bioenergetic receiver and transmitter, ultimately, of the Creator's frequency vibrations. Whether you believe in God or not, or just nature, the reality is your DNA receives and transmits light and sound signals. It's an energy technology, and it's being regulated for the most advanced human manipulation, population control, and enslavement. It's the advanced technology for human slavery.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more caller. First-time caller, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, is this me, George?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi, I'm Ellen from Newton, Massachusetts.
Just got a couple minutes left, Ellen.
Okay, I'm also a Christian Jew, and every year I'd have my kids tested. And one year my son tested positive with the Manto TB. They tested him two more times, and there was a huge red lump on his arm, and he was put on the medication for 9 months. And now I'm really worried based on what Dr. Horowitz is saying, and I want to know what I can do.
Okay, another great example of how ridiculous and insane but deadly this whole scam is. They tell you that it's a simple, harmless test. They tell you that it doesn't, unlike vaccinations, they say it doesn't have any long-term immunological effects. False, completely false. The science proves it. The reason why your child has tested positive most likely is because after the second or third test, and they're telling people they need to be tested every year or 2 years or 3 years, after the first test, you have an increased susceptibility of getting a false positive on the second or third or further tests. So then, just like you're saying, you're put on these toxic drugs. You then become a victim of all the side effects, have to go to doctors, basically dependent on all these other meds to keep you going. This is enslavement, pharmacological enslavement. So what do? You get into the natural healing methods. Go to the website healingcelebrations.com, healingcelebrations.com. Read up on what it takes for us to take responsibility for our own well-being. Simple things. I mentioned the five steps. Detoxification. Very low cost, if no cost at all in many cases, recommendations that we provide. Number two, changing the body's chemistry, avoiding the lifestyle risks that cause your body to become a breeding ground for these bacteria, viruses, fungus. All of these things are caused mostly by the fact that we've taken into our bodies caffeine, nicotine, sugars, stresses, pharmaceuticals, most of them, and red meats. Those are the things that cause your body chemistry to turn acidic. And in the acidic state, then you become a breeding ground for these pathogens as well as chronic diseases, including cancers.
All right, Len, thank you so much for being on the program. We've got to run.
George, thank you so much, brother. Look forward to speaking with you again.